The writing room is a space for authors to exchange positive ideas, professional advice, and motivation. In our podcast series, you'll find interviews with authors, publishing professionals, and wider industry contacts about writing, publishing, top tips, and best practice. Dr. Chris Merritt is a clinical psychologist and crime author. Following a career in the UK Foreign and Commonwealth Office, where he worked as a diplomat in Middle East conflict zones, Chris returned to university to study psychology, led by an interest in post-traumatic stress disorder. He went on to train as a clinical psychologist, working in the NHS in London and specialising in treating PTSD with victims, witnesses, and even perpetrators of crime. Chris's first crime novel, Bring Her Back, was published by Booker and Audible in 2018, and to date his books have sold over 110,000 copies. His latest novel is a standalone psychological thriller, The New Home. Hi Chris, thank you so much for joining us today at The Writing Room.
Pleasure, thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And in fact, just as you asked me, that the sun has come out, so that's always a nice thing to see, especially
plus. It's always a October. So should we just dive right in, if that's okay? Please can you introduce a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Chris Merritt. I'm a crime author, but I'm also a clinical psychologist, so I do both of those things day to day, and certainly the psychology helps out with the crime writing. Not so sure the crime writing helps out with the psychology. Maybe it does a bit as well. Probably. Now I think about it. And I've had I've had seven books published to date, two detective trilogies. The first was more of a kind of organized crime type themes, sort of line of duty, police corruption, that kind of thing. The second trilogy was more sort of psychological serial killer type stories, a bit darker. And then the last thing I published was a standalone psychological thriller kind of domestic setting, that type of thing.
That's great as well that you've had the experience of both like series writing and the standalone. I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean they are quite different actually, so yeah, it's good to have tried both.
Yeah, definitely. Please can you tell us a little bit about your writing and publication journey?
Yeah, so I think I first had a go at writing, the first thing I ever tried writing in terms of fiction was probably about 8 years ago, something like that. So I was working in the NHS at the time, and I'd had a little bit of time off between two jobs, and I just had this idea for a book that had combined two sort of nonfiction things that I'd been reading. And my sister, who's also a thriller writer, had said to me, "Oh, you know, you've had a few interesting experiences, maybe you should have a go at writing something." And I didn't know what to write. I liked the idea of it, but didn't know what to write until one day this plot just kind of hit me, and I literally woke up with the idea of like combining these two things. And so I started out writing, and at the time I was working full time in the NHS. Yeah. So I didn't have a lot of time, and obviously it was quite stressful as well working in mental health services in the NHS. So when I would come home from work in the evening, I'd sit down and relax by just writing a little bit and get a couple of hundred words down, and just found that I quite enjoyed the process. You know, I'd been a thriller reader for many years, and having a go at crafting one myself, I think was a lot of fun. And it was quite a good stress relief as well. And I could write about some of the things that I was encountering at work. Psychological issues, and it was quite a nice way to relax. And then at some point I realized that actually I had written a book, I'd finished it. So I then thought, well, what do I do with this? And I started showing it to some agents, and yeah, at first basically everybody said no thanks. So yeah, I think I sent it out to about 12 agents and they all said no thanks. But I did know a couple of authors, and I was able to kind of get a bit of advice from them on just how to not even really change the book, but just sort of tighten up those opening few chapters, the thing that, you know, people who read it, whether it's agents or publishers or whoever, the thing that they see first, just that bit tighter, a bit more polished.
Yeah.
And then essentially kind of take that product and pitch it a bit better to people. And once I did that, then actually I got some offers. So I got some interest from agents, and I met a few of them, and I had a couple of offers of representation. But then it wasn't all plain sailing from there, because that first book that I'd written, the one that I'd written kind of in the evenings whilst working in the NHS, that was rejected by every publisher that my editor sent it to. So we spent ages editing it together, cut loads of words out of it, really trimmed it down, and then every publisher rejected it. But a couple of them, which is a bit demoralizing,
you can imagine. Totally.
But then a couple said, actually, we really like, there was a character in the book who was, he was a main character, but it wasn't all about him, and he was a detective. And they said, we like this guy. If you wrote a book that's centered on him, we'd take a look at it. So kind of went back to the drawing board and started again and came up with a new plot. Mm. And that was much more sort of like a gritty crime story set in London, whereas the previous one had been more international. It featured this detective quite heavily and his family issues and police corruption, all this kind of stuff. And it drew on lots of the locations where I was working in the NHS. As well, kind of communities and so on. And then that book actually got picked up by a publisher and went from there, really. And then I stayed with that publisher, and I had two more contracts with them. And yeah, and then they've sort of shaped it along the way. So it started out with that story, but after three of those books, they suggested doing something that was more kind of along the serial killer lines, because those stories they're always kind of popular and they'd had success with those stories. And after I did three of those, they said, they're kind of looking at the trends and what other things have been successful for them. And they'd had a lot of success with that kind of psychological suspense, the sort of domestic setting, small cast of characters, unreliable narrators, that kind of thing. And so they said, do you want to have a go at that? Bring your psychology experience to that. And so that was the last thing I wrote. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's interesting as well that like the first one that you'd actually finished, it leads on to that other thing.
It did, yeah. And I think it was a little bit more experimental, because it was kind of, in a way, not that I particularly realised I was doing this at the time, but it was what I would now know is called a cross-genre book. So it was part espionage thriller, part police procedural.
Yeah.
And there's very few things I can think of that actually are like that. There's actually nothing that comes to mind. And part of that is probably because it's quite hard to place that in a market. You know, it's not one or the other thing. So, you know, on a good day, you might capture fans of both, but on a bad day, no one might be interested in
either. Yeah.
I think publishers weren't quite sure about it. Yeah, it just took a bit of refining. But I think what I learned from that first experience, though in some ways you could call it a failure because that book didn't get published, and that's probably right, because, you know, if I look back at it, it actually wasn't that good, even though the ideas weren't too bad, but the writing probably wasn't very good. But I just learned that I enjoyed writing and I liked the process, and it was a thing I could do. And I could develop an idea. So once I'd done it once, I had confidence to do it again and do it better.
Yes, exactly. So how much has your actual process changed from that first time you were writing? Is it different? Have you crafted that?
Yeah, I think it has changed quite a bit. I think early on, I only had a vague outline for a plot. And I was sort of filling it in as I went along, or not exactly making it up as I went along, but certainly I didn't have much of a template to work to. So it probably had a bit of spontaneity to it, but also I didn't really know what I was doing in terms of structuring a plot and knowing about things like, you know, you've got your plot that, for example, if it's an investigation of some kind, with a professional investigator, you've got that person looking into those issues, but then you've also got stuff going on in their private life, and maybe there's an overlap between the two, but you've got to keep both stories going. And you have your sort of, it could be like a three-act structure, or it could be a five-act structure, or just the kind of ups and downs, basically. I just didn't know any of that. I was freestyling at the beginning. And I think then once I had a, once I actually got a book deal, I started plotting in a bit more detail. And in fact, I probably went too far the other way. My plotting was getting so detailed that I'd have these color-coded spreadsheets that would tell me like what was happening in each chapter, and then within each chapter, each scene, and then who's rating the scene. That was the color coding. And my publishers liked this so much, they actually asked me to come in and give a talk to their to them on it, so that some of their editors could try and encourage other writers to plot in that way, because I think they were finding a lot of writers who maybe had a more spontaneous process were, you know, losing their way and kind of going off track and writing books that were like 30,000 words too long and needed loads of editing. But actually, as time has gone on and I've got more experience, a bit more confident with writing, I now don't do a color-coded spreadsheet anymore.
You don't take your own advice.
No, exactly. I've like binned my own advice. I think just when you have a little bit more confidence, you can kind of, and I've heard other writers say this too, you can, as long as you kind of know roughly where you're starting, you know, roughly the outline of the book, the kind of key points you want to hit, and whether it's your characters need to go to a particular place or they're going to make a certain discovery, or, you know, in a serial killer type book, you might have the milestones of a new victim, for example, the kind of the sort of telegraph poles that the story is kind of strung between. Then I feel a bit more confident finding my way a bit more intuitively between them. So the things I'm kind of working on at the moment, which are a little bit different to previous stuff I've written, still thriller, but a bit slightly different style, is to outline the whole thing over maybe one or two pages, and then do a paragraph on what each of the first sort of 10 chapters or so is going to look like, so that I know the setup of the book and introducing all the main characters, what their kind of struggles are, what is it that they want to try and achieve, and then broadly what's stopping them from getting it, which is usually some kind of peril of some kind, some adversary. And then I know how the book is going to get set up, and that will give me the first sort of 15 to 20,000 words. And then after that, I'll just sort of get a feel for how it's progressing and where I want to take it. And for example, something I'm working on at the moment, there was a character who, when I was outlining it, I thought they were going to play a certain role. And then as I started to write scenes from their perspective, I realized actually they could take on a different, bigger role in the book. That I thought was quite exciting and you know, brought something new to it that I wouldn't have realized that if I'd planned everything out from the start, because that character just sort of came to life as I was writing them. So there's something to be said for that spontaneity as well.
And I think it also keeps it exciting for you to write, because you don't necessarily know everything that's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, you can surprise yourself a little bit. The downside is you sit down and you're like, okay, so what am I actually writing now? Whereas before, I would sit down and I'd have this like a cell from a spreadsheet would be like, the detective goes to X location and finds Y information. I'm like, okay, I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah,
totally. That's stressful.
Yeah, that's great. And we'd love to know, what is one piece of advice that you wish you'd known at the start?
I guess for me personally, I think knowing that, you know, it's one thing to kind of write a book as an exercise in just something creative, something fun, or a hobby maybe. But if you want to take it somewhere or go somewhere with it, like trying to get it published, as soon as you, however you do that, even if you're self-publishing, as soon as that manuscript leaves your computer, it becomes kind of a collaborative enterprise, and you need to start working with other people on it. And that can actually be quite a hard thing to do when you've been working on this thing and it's your baby, basically, and you think you've been polishing it before you send it, you know, share it with anyone else. But I think to acknowledge that the first draft you do is one thing, but it's not the finished product. And once you share that with other people, whether it's an agent or an editor or whoever, you know, or even a friend who's going to give you some advice on it, maybe a fellow writer or whoever it might be, it becomes collaborative and you will gain something from taking their input. And it, instinctively, you want to almost kind of reject, you know, because people will kind of criticize it, or in a, maybe hopefully in a constructive way, they'll come up with suggestions to improve it. And you'll be thinking, but it's already as good as it can be. This is, it's done. And actually taking other people's advice on how to improve it will improve it, because they'll see things that you won't have seen.
Yeah.
So being open to that is really important. I think the other thing that comes to mind is that it can take a while to kind of build success, whatever that looks like for you. And I think success is different for everyone. Success might just be getting 200 words down on the page, or success might be finishing a book, or success might be getting it published, or success could be selling, you know, thousands of copies or whatever it is. But I think there are very few people for whom success just comes overnight in writing. And, you know, there are people who are very fortunate with their first books that they go really big. To some extent, that's a bit of a poison chalice, because then you have to then do that again and again. And it's quite hard, I imagine, to do that. But for most people, it takes time to build up all the elements of writing. So your skills as a writer, for a start, is probably the core of it all. Your network as an author, feeling part of a community, that takes time. You know, going to events, meeting people and connecting with them on social media or whatever it might be. Building a readership takes time as well. You know, connecting with readers who've come up with your who've read your books and interacting with them online. And it's nice when people then ask you, you know, what's coming next, or what are you working on, or they'll support you when something comes out, they'll post something about your book. And these things develop, I think, they develop best when they develop sustainably. And that, I think, takes quite a long time, because those sorts of sustainable networks and skills are things that are, you know, built organically and take time to develop, and as well as your kind of understanding of, you know, the market of fiction and what works, and, you know, you're trying to find that sweet spot between the thing you really want to write and the thing that people want to read.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully they overlap a lot. Yeah.
So basically that things take time, and to just be patient and let things happen organically, but also be open and don't be stuck in your own thoughts, and let other people be in that process.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and be kind to yourself along the way with both of those things. Don't expect perfection overnight, and yeah, like you say, be open to other people's input, but in a way that's not criticism of you and what you've done. It's a way of improving what you've got and working kind of in a team, if you like.
Yeah,
editorial team.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. What are your highlights or challenges so far in your writing career, and how did you deal with the challenges?
Well, I think the highlights are probably, you know, a number of the things that I've already mentioned it's the milestones probably that you are the big ones, that the big things that stick in your mind, you know, the first manuscript that you finished, the first time you wrote, you know, the end, after doing, you know, 90 or 100,000 words or whatever it is. The first time an agent comes back to you and says, this is good, I'm interested in working together. The first time, you know, a publisher says, I'm interested in putting this out there for people to read. The first time that your book is published and people start reacting to it online, you see people commenting on social media, you see people leaving reviews, which is, you know, can be highlights or can be lowlights, depending. But yeah, just the book being out there in the world. And then I think also kind of sales milestones are quite good. I hit earlier this year, I think around about March time, I hit 100,000 sales of my books, amazing. Which is, it was really cool because it's just that big number, and you know, and there are times when I didn't think I would reach that number, you know, because it's often quite unpredictable. And I think that gave me a bit of confidence that I could kind of build, you know, from there. Another quite cool thing that happened with my first book was that my agent managed to negotiate a TV option for it. So I then got to work with this production company that wanted to bring it to the screen. And it was really cool. They got a screenwriter to develop a concept for it. And I had various kind of meetings with them. And it was amazing to see how this person took my novel and turned it into what's called a treatment, where they basically outline, you know, what's going to happen in this story as it's adapted for screen. How will it look it over, you know, 4 or 6 episodes? What are the key kind of, who are the key characters in it, and what are their sort of issues in it? Some of those were changed slightly from the book. And then just hearing their journey of trying to pitch it to broadcasters. And unfortunately it didn't work out, which I think is the case for 90% plus of projects like that. But it was a really cool experience anyway. And I still have that connection with the production company. I know that if I come up with a good concept, I can email them and say, what do you think about this, and have a conversation about it. So that was just a very interesting thing to be a part of. And you know, and in most cases, in my case, you get a bit of money for that option as well. So that's a nice kind of extra, because it's a thing you've already done it, all the work, and then they say, would you like some money for it? You say, sure. So those are probably the highlights. I mean, I think also occasionally you get a really nice message from a reader that can be like a kind of mini highlight along the way, where someone's found your work and it's really resonated with them. They've enjoyed it. They've taken it on a holiday. They've shared it with someone or whatever. It's really nice to see that when someone takes the trouble to message you or post about it online. That's really cool. I mean, then the challenges are sort of almost the flip side of all of those things, in that all of those highlights, every single one of them had multiple sort of, however you want to describe it, failures or rejections or unsuccessful attempts or whatever before getting to that point. You know, it is tough when you get rejected. You send something out there that you think is good, and generally most people won't share. You know, most authors are more reluctant to share their work until they feel it's kind of perfect and they've polished it and what have you. So when you do finally take that step to then be rejected, it's kind of is tough. And some agents and editors are sort of harsher than others in the feedback they give. I remember one guy that my old agent shared, an editor that my former agent shared my very first manuscript with, just took it to pieces. Most of them would just say, this isn't quite right for us, it's not quite what we're looking for, that those sorts of replies. But one person just totally took it to pieces. It was completely unnecessary. And it just sort of left me reeling, almost like a kind of slap in the face or something. And I actually thought for quite a long time, have I got this all wrong? Am I like, can I do this? Or am I just not quite good enough for it? And that was tough. I don't know whether that person was having a bad day or that's just their style or whatever it was. But yeah, that was very tough. But, you know, I think with each of these setbacks, to kind of keep going and look ahead to the next thing and try and think about it in a little bit more of a pragmatic way or a strategic way, you know, what could, not to take it too personally, which is easily done because you invest a lot of yourself in a book, but instead to say, what what can I learn from this that will help me get it right or pitch it better next time? And thinking about it a bit more pragmatically and strategically, and not being, not kind of taking things to heart or being too, getting too down when things don't go right, because they will go a bit wrong. They'll go in ways that you perhaps hope they didn't, and but that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. You can kind of bring it back around and, you know, make a new project or edit what you've got or whatever.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I think that's been the general consensus with pretty much every author that we've spoken to. It's that there are highlights and there are downfalls where you're not posting them on social media. And, you know, what you see isn't a full picture of it. And actually the journey for everyone's a little bit rocky, even when it doesn't seem it. And that it's important just to know that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, social media is kind of like that generally. It's, you know, it's very curated, isn't it? And I think it's quite funny. There's a movement now with a couple of different platforms to try and like counterbalance this like endless curation that people do of this sort of like everything's perfect on social media, where you're only allowed to post it all like randomly. I think Be Real was the original app. It will tell you, it will just notify you at what a time of day, and you've got something like 10 minutes to do a post. And if you don't do it in that window of whatever you're doing, whatever's happening that day, whether it's good, bad, boring, exciting, whatever, you can't post that day. And I think it'd be quite funny if you had that with authors.
Yeah.
And even like quite successful authors, or authors who, you know, there are some authors who clearly put a lot of effort, time and effort into their social media presence and really curating and crafting their brand, and it would be quite interesting to see, you know, if you got them at a random time of day, what does it actually look like? Is it them tearing their hair out over a draft that they can't make work, or chapter they can't get right?
Interesting. We want to be real for authors. That is what we want. Yeah, that's so true. We would love to know, what are you looking forward to next, whatever that is in your life, anything?
Well, in my life, I have a baby on the way.
Exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, coming. Thank you. Yeah. Who hopefully is going to be making an appearance in January. So we're getting ready for that, which is lots of new things to learn and lots that you realize, lots of those kind of Socrates type moments where you realize how much you don't know about something. You realize, yeah, how ignorant you actually are about stuff. So yeah, big learning curve with that come. And and then in terms of writing, I'm working on some new projects at the moment. I'm hoping to kind of move away a little bit from some of the stuff that I've written to date and try and write something that's maybe a bit more kind of international in scope, and maybe with a bit more sort of espionage, conspiracy type themes, along those lines. So I'm working on some ideas with that and sharing that with a few people, and gonna see where that goes.
Exciting.
Yeah. So I feel quite excited about writing that stuff, and I think that's an important thing that you want to feel kind of, you know, motivated to do what you're doing with the writing. And if some people will want to just do the same thing, kind of plow the same furrow, but you might find you try one thing and then actually you decide, oh, I want to write a different type of thriller or even a different type of novel. So have a go with that, challenge yourself. I was listening to a talk recently by David Baldacci where he said, you know, it's good to just regularly scare yourself.
Yeah.
Step out of the comfort zone. So I'm definitely doing that at the moment.
Yeah.
See where it goes.
Oh, that's really good. I hope that goes really well. We'll wait to see something.
Hopefully in months to come, we'll see.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Writing Room podcast. To see more interviews like this, please follow the podcast on your preferred streaming service, and you can join our community Facebook page at The Writing Room, or by using the link in the description below.